Chapter 19. Of the internal economy of Doughboys Hall, a ride of 200 odd miles in severe weather is one of the best softeners of a hard bed that ingenuity can devise. Perhaps it is even a sweetener of dreams for those which hovered over the rough couch of Nicholas and whispered their airy nothings in his ear were of an agreeable and happy kind. He was making his fortune very fast indeed, when the faint glimmer of an expiring candle shone before his eyes, and a voice he had no difficulty in recognizing as part and parcel of Mr. Squeers, admonished him that it was time to rise. "Past 7, Nickleby," apostrophe said Mr. Squeers. "Has morning come already?" apostrophe apostrophe asked Nicholas, sitting up in bed. "Ah, that has it," apostrophe replied Squeers, "and ready iced too. Now, Nickleby, come, tumble up, will you?" Apostrophe apostrophe, Nicholas needed no further admonition, but tumbled up at once, and proceeded to dress himself by the light of the taper, which Mr. Squeers carried in his hand. "Here's a pretty go," apostrophe said that gentleman. "The pump's froze." Apostrophe, indeed. Apostrophe apostrophe said Nicholas, not much interested in the intelligence. "Yes," apostrophe replied Squeers. "You can't wash yourself this morning." Apostrophe, "not wash myself?" Apostrophe apostrophe exclaimed Nicholas. "No, not a bit of it," apostrophe rejoined Squeers tartly. "So you must be content with giving yourself a dry polish till we break the ice in the well, and can get a bucketful out for the boys. Don't stand staring at me, but do look sharp, will you?" Apostrophe apostrophe, offering no further observation, Nicholas huddled on his clothes. Squeers, meanwhile, opened the shutters and blew the candle out, when the voice of his amiable consort was heard in the passage, demanding admittance. "Come in, my love," apostrophe said Squeers. Mrs. Squeers came in, still habited in the primitive night jacket which had displayed the symmetry of her figure on the previous night, and further ornamented with a beaver bonnet of some antiquity, which she wore, with much ease and lightness, on the top of the nightcap before mentioned. "Drat the things," apostrophe said the lady, opening the cupboard. "I can't find the school spoon anywhere." Apostrophe, "never mind it, my dear," apostrophe observed Squeers in a soothing manner. "It's of no consequence." Apostrophe, "no consequence, why how you talk?" Apostrophe apostrophe retorted Mrs. Squeers sharply. "Isn't it brimstone morning?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "I forgot, my dear," apostrophe rejoined Squeers. "Yes, it certainly is. We purify the boys' bloods now and then, Nickleby." Apostrophe, "purify fiddlestick sense," apostrophe said his lady. "Don't think, young man, that we go to the expense of flour of brimstone and molasses, just to purify them, because if you think we carry on the business in that way, you'll find yourself mistaken, and so I tell you plainly." Apostrophe, "my dear," apostrophe said Squeers frowning. "Hem." Apostrophe, "oh, nonsense," apostrophe rejoined Mrs. Squeers. "If the young man comes to be a teacher here, let him understand, at once, that we don't want any foolery about the boys. They have the brimstone and treacle, partly because if they hadn't something or other in the way of medicine they'd be always ailing, and giving a world of trouble, and partly because it spoils their appetites, and comes cheaper than breakfast and dinner. So, it does them good and us good at the same time, and that's fair enough I'm sure." Apostrophe, having given this explanation, Mrs. Squeers put her head into the closet, and instituted a stricter search after the spoon, in which Mr. Squeers assisted. A few words passed between them, while they were thus engaged, but as their voices were partially stifled by the cupboard, all that Nicholas could distinguish was, that Mr. Squeers said, what Mrs. Squeers had said, was injudicious, and that Mrs. Squeers said what Mr. Squeers said, was stuff. Apostrophe, a vast deal of searching and rummaging ensued, and it proving fruitless, Smike was called in, and pushed by Mrs. Squeers, and boxed by Mr. Squeers, Which course of treatment, brightening his intellects, enabled him to suggest that possibly Mrs. Squeers might have the spoon in her pocket, as indeed turned out to be the case. As Mrs. Squeers had previously protested, however, that she was quite certain she had not got it, Smike received another box on the ear for presuming to contradict his mistress, together with a promise of a sound thrashing, if he were not more respectful in future, so that he took nothing very advantageous by his motion. A most invaluable woman, that, Nickleby, apostrophe said Squeers when his consort had hurried away, pushing the drudge before her. Indeed, sir, apostrophe observed Nicholas. I don't know her equal, apostrophe said Squeers, I do not know her equal. That woman, Nickleby, is always the same bustling, lively, active, saving creature that you see her now. Apostrophe, Nicholas sighed involuntarily at the thought of the agreeable domestic prospect thus opened to him, but Squeers was, fortunately, too much occupied with his own reflections to perceive it. It's my way to say, when I am up in London, apostrophe continued Squeers, that to them boys she is a mother. But she is more than a mother to them, 10 times more. She does things for them boys, Nickleby, that I don't believe half the mothers going would do for their own sons. Apostrophe, I should think they would not, sir, apostrophe answered Nicholas. Now, the fact was, that both Mr. and Mrs. Squeers viewed the boys in the light of their proper and natural enemies, or, in other words, they held and considered that their business and profession was to get as much from every boy as could by possibility be screwed out of him. On this point they were both agreed, and behaved in unison accordingly. The only difference between them was, that Mrs. Squeers waged war against the enemy openly and fearlessly, and that Squeers covered his rascality, even at home, with a spice of his habitual deceit, as if he really had a notion of some day or other being able to take himself in, and persuade his own mind, that he was a very good fellow. But come, apostrophe said Squeers, interrupting the progress of some thoughts to this effect in the mind of his usher, let's go to the schoolroom, and lend me a hand with my school coat, will you? Apostrophe, Nicholas assisted his master, to put on an old fustian shooting jacket, which he took down from a peg in the passage, and Squeers, arming himself with his cane, led the way across a yard, to a door in the rear of the house. There, apostrophe said the schoolmaster as they stepped in together, this is our shop, Nickleby. Apostrophe, it was such a crowded scene, and there were so many objects to attract attention, that, at first, Nicholas stared about him, really without seeing anything at all. By degrees, however, the place resolved itself into a bare and dirty room, with a couple of windows, whereof a tenth part might be of glass, the remainder being stopped up with old copy books and paper. There were a couple of long old rickety desks, cut and notched, and inked, and damaged, in every possible way, two or three forms, a detached desk for Squeers, and another for his assistant. The ceiling was supported, like that of a barn, by crossbeams and rafters, and the walls were so stained and discolored, that it was impossible to tell whether they had ever been touched with paint or whitewash. But the pupils, the young nobleman, how the last faint traces of hope, the remotest glimmering of any good, to be derived from his efforts in this den, faded from the mind of Nicholas as he looked in dismay around. Pale and haggard faces, lank and bony figures, children with the countenances of old men, deformities with irons upon their limbs, boys of stunted growth, and others whose long meager legs would hardly bear their stooping bodies, all crowded on the view together. There were the bleared eye, the hare lip, the crooked foot, and every ugliness or distortion that told of unnatural aversion conceived by parents for their offspring, or of young lives which, from the earliest dawn of infancy, had been one horrible endurance of cruelty and neglect. There were little faces which should have been handsome, darkened with the scowl of sullen, dogged suffering, There was childhood with the light of its eye quenched, its beauty gone, and its helplessness alone remaining. There were vicious-faced boys, brooding, with leaden eyes, like malefactors in a jail. And there were young creatures on whom the sins of their frail parents had descended, weeping even for the mercenary nurses they had known, and lonesome even in their loneliness. With every kindly sympathy and affection blasted in its birth, with every young and healthy feeling flogged and starved down, with every revengeful passion, that confessed her in swollen hearts, eating its evil way to their core in silence, what an incipient hell was breeding here. And yet this scene, painful as it was, had its grotesque features, which, in a less interested observer than Nicholas, might have provoked a smile. Mrs. Squeers stood at one of the desks, presiding over an immense basin of brimstone and treacle, of which delicious compound she administered a large installment to each boy in succession, using for the purpose a common wooden spoon, which might have been originally manufactured for some gigantic top, and which whitened every young gentleman's mouth considerably, they being all obliged, under heavy corporal penalties, to take in the whole of the bowl at a gasp. In another corner, huddled together for companionship, were the little boys who had arrived on the preceding night, three of them in very large leather breeches, and two in old trousers, a something tighter fit than drawers are usually worn. At no great distance from these was seated the juvenile son and heir of Mr. Squeers, a striking likeness of his father, kicking, with great vigor, under the hands of Smike, who was fitting upon him a pair of new boots, that bore a most suspicious resemblance to those which the least of the little boys had worn on the journey down, as the little boy himself seemed to think, for he was regarding the appropriation with a look of most rueful amazement. Besides these, there was a long row of boys waiting, with countenances of no pleasant anticipation, to be treacled, and another file, who had just escaped from the infliction, making a variety of wry mouths indicative of anything but satisfaction. The whole were attired in such motley, ill-assorted, extraordinary garments, as would have been irresistibly ridiculous, but for the foul appearance of dirt, disorder, and disease, with which they were associated. Now, apostrophe said Squeers, giving the desk a great rap with his cane, which made half the little boys nearly jump out of their boots, is that physicking over? Apostrophe, just over, apostrophe said Mrs. Squeers, choking the last boy in her hurry, and tapping the crown of his head with the wooden spoon to restore him. Here, you Smike, take away now. Look sharp. Apostrophe, Smike shuffled out with the basin, and Mrs. Squeers, having called up a little boy with a curly head, and wiped her hands upon it, hurried out after him into a species of wash house, where there was a small fire and a large kettle, together with a number of little wooden bowls which were arranged upon a board. Into these bowls, Mrs. Squeers, assisted by the hungry servant, poured a brown composition, which looked like diluted pincushions without the covers, and was called porridge. A minute wedge of brown bread was inserted in each bowl, and when they had eaten their porridge by means of the bread, the boys ate the bread itself, and had finished their breakfast. Whereupon Mr. Squeers said, in a solemn voice, "For what we have received, may the Lord make us truly thankful." Apostrophe, and went away to his own. Nicholas distended his stomach with a bowl of porridge, for much the same reason which induces some savages to swallow earth lest they should be inconveniently hungry when there is nothing to eat. Having further disposed of a slice of bread and butter, allotted to him in virtue of his office, he sat himself down to wait for school time. He could not but observe how silent and sad the boys all seemed to be. There was none of the noise and clamor of a schoolroom, none of its boisterous play or hearty mirth. The children sat crouching and shivering together, and seemed to lack the spirit to move about. The only pupil who evinced the slightest tendency towards locomotion or playfulness was Master Squeers, and as his chief amusement was to tread upon the other boy's toes in his new boots, his flow of spirits was rather disagreeable than otherwise. After some half hour's delay, Mr. Squeers reappeared, and the boys took their places and their books, of which latter commodity the average might be about 1 to 8 learners. A few minutes having elapsed, during which Mr. Squeers looked very profound, as if he had a perfect apprehension of what was inside all the books, and could say every word of their contents by heart, if he only chose to take the trouble, that gentleman called up the first class. Obedient to this summons, they arranged themselves in front of the schoolmaster's desk, half a dozen scarecrows, out at knees and elbows, one of whom placed a torn and filthy book beneath his learned eye. "This is the first class in English spelling and philosophy, Nickleby," apostrophe said Squeers, beckoning Nicholas to stand beside him. "We'll get up a Latin one, and hand that over to you. Now then, where's the first boy? Apostrophe, apostrophe, please, sir, he's cleaning the back parlor window," apostrophe said the temporary head of the philosophical class. "So he is, to be sure," apostrophe rejoined Squeers. "We go upon the practical mode of teaching, Nickleby, the regular education system. C-L-E-A-N, clean, verb active, to make right, to scour. W-I-N, win, D-E-R, der, winder, a casement. When the boy knows this out of book, he goes and does it. It's just the same principle as the use of the globes. Where's the second boy? Apostrophe, please, sir, he's weeding the garden," apostrophe replied a small voice. "To be sure," apostrophe said Squeers, by no means disconcerted. "So he is. B-O-T, bot, T-I-N, tin, botan, N-E-Y, nay, botany, noun substantive, a knowledge of plants. When he has learned that botany means a knowledge of plants, he goes and knows them. That's our system, Nickleby. What do you think of it?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, it's very useful one, at any rate, apostrophe answered Nicholas. "I believe you," apostrophe rejoined Squeers, not remarking the emphasis of his usher. "Third boy, what's horse?" Apostrophe, "a beast, sir," apostrophe replied the boy. "So it is," apostrophe said Squeers. "Ain't it, Nickleby?" Apostrophe, "I believe there is no doubt of that, sir," apostrophe answered Nicholas. "Of course there isn't," apostrophe said Squeers. "A horse is a quadruped, and quadruped's Latin for beast, as everybody that's gone through the grammar knows, or else where's the use of having grammars at all?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, where, indeed? Apostrophe said Nicholas abstractedly. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.